As the Singapore economy transforms, some workers could be left behind. The Singapore economy is also heavily reliant on foreigners. How would your party balance these two challenges? And we shall start with you, Mr. Lin. Your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. PAR has always been known as the party that emphasizes, insists on priority for jobs for Singaporeans. We make no concession on that whatsoever. Now, we will insist that the employer must employ Singaporeans first. Only if they are able to show that no Singaporean is capable of doing that job should they be allowed to employ the foreigner. We now have an economy, we now have fostered an economy where employers actually prefer hiring foreigners to locals. We want to stop that. We want to use our vast resources to nurture our local talent and make sure that they get the best paying jobs. We are not against foreigners, but Singaporeans will always come first. Thank you.
Moving on. Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
PSP, we have never and we will never argue for a closed Singapore. We are aware that Singapore needs talents from other countries. But in our opinion, it should be done in a way that is complementary to our Singaporean workforce. So we need to find a fair balance between making sure that our local workers are gainfully employed and making sure that we have the foreign talent that we need. So PSP has proposals for that. They include a strengthening of the current fair consideration framework. Itself imposing a modest EP levy like that for S-passes and work permits, and also imposing a quota on EP holders, which are also in existence for S-pass and work permit holders. So we believe that these proposals will allow our party to balance these two challenges that have been mentioned. Thank you.
Mr. Philemon, your 1 minute starts now.
I agree with Mr. Chi that in a turbulent world, unity is very important, but unity is not monopoly. He said earlier that we must remain an open society. I also agree with him on that. Singapore has got no choice but to remain an open society. But in an open society, we must also make sure that the privilege of citizenship is better accentuated, because sometimes people don't feel that what is claimed to be in the national interest is not in the people's interest. So, I mean, for example, why do foreign wives of Singapore citizens only get LTVP and not PRs or citizenship? That is a very important question to ask. I mean, it shows us that you need to accentuate the privilege of citizenship.
Next, Mr. Tung, your 1 minute starts now.
I think it's important to remember that immigration has to remain the cornerstone of Singapore society. It is an important part of what we need to keep as a part of our DNA to welcome talent and friends from all around the world. But we must ensure that our immigration policy lifts Singaporeans and not sidelines them. And so to achieve this balance, one of the things that we've put forward is the idea of ensuring a more deliberate skills transfer between foreign talent and our local workforce. And I think this is important, right? Because sometimes there are industries that we want to chase that we may not have the talent pool just yet to be able to properly capture. And it's well and good for us to allow then foreign talent to come in the first generation of employees that we have to be able to staff out and really try and make a dent in that particular industry. But we must create the right incentives such that companies have a reason to then start trying to transfer that skills across, so that while the first generation of workers may be foreign-born, after that, you may have opportunities for Singaporeans to take more of the jobs.
Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes starts now.
In all our economic and manpower policies, Singaporeans remain at the heart of everything we do. We understand the concerns of our workers. When we open our economy to the world, because we need to trade with the world, there will be competition. But as my fellow panelists have mentioned, we do need to stay open, and we do need to welcome complementary international talent to come to Singapore. So what we need to do is not to close our doors, but to help our businesses and our workers to stay competitive. And that is what the PAP will focus on. Put workers first, ensure they remain relevant and employable, because every worker matters. Now, over the years, we have built up and strengthened our safety nets, and we pay careful attention to those who fall through the cracks. The PAP will have their backs, will always have their backs, and we will put in place comprehensive support for those who need a helping hand, as Mr. Teng mentioned, a trampoline, so that they can bounce back, they can get the better jobs, they can earn a better living. And we achieve all this through our strong model of tripartism, which we have nurtured since day one. This is a hallmark of the PAP government. Unions, businesses, government working closely together to deliver what is best for Singapore and Singaporeans. And we demonstrate our strength, not through confrontation, but through collaboration. And this is something that, if you look around the world, few other countries are able to achieve this outcome. Now, the opposition have taken a different approach. Some of them have proposed a minimum wage. We believe that the government's progressive wage model is more practical and more effective in helping workers. Instead of a one-size-fits-all minimum wage, which may have unintended consequences, causing job losses, we use progressive wages. There's a wage ladder and there's a skills ladder, so that the workers improve their productivity and earn higher wages in a more sustainable manner. It's also better for the workers in the longer term. Now, the Workers' Party has called for independent unions, following the practices of other countries. Now, our unions are already independent. So I think what the Workers' Party is really calling for is a more confrontational relationship between the unions and the government. I would like to ask, why would that be good for Singapore if we have that outcome? How would that affect our reputation and our economy if we have that outcome? Now, our policies are pro-Singapore and pro-Singaporeans, but we must avoid a zero-sum mentality. It is not about locals versus foreigners. It is about how we can work to grow the economic pie, to enlarge the economic pie, so that there's more that we can share with Singaporeans, more and better job opportunities, better wages. Now, we will certainly want to help our businesses too, help them to transform. They need the workers too, as Mr. Teng mentioned. We need them to improve their productivity. We need to help them to expand overseas, including our SMEs. So this is something that we want to do, is pro-business and pro-workers. Now, in this more turbulent and uncertain world, we will need unity and stability. And we need to forge our own way forward. Not welfare, but workfare. Not one minimum wage, but multiple wage and skills ladders for different industries. And certainly not zero sum, but looking at how we can enlarge the pie for all Singaporeans. And when we have economic growth, it is very important to ensure that the growth can benefit as many segments of our population as possible, so that everyone can feel that there's an uplift from a rising tide. And this is the PAP's way of doing things, through strong tripartism, sound policies that achieve good outcomes in a sustainable way. We enable all Singaporeans to be able to share the fruits of our sustainable economic progress. Thank you.
Professor Pan, your question for PAR, please.
So, PAR proposes protecting Singaporean workers by regulating the foreign workforce and encouraging businesses to invest in local workforce development. How would your party resolve this tension between supporting local SMEs and stricter access to foreign skilled manpower?
Professor. Mr. Lim, your 1 minute starts
Professor,
now.
Professor, Singapore, PAP government has entered into very harmful treaties, such as SECA, which PAR is totally opposed and once abolished. We may talk about being open to foreign workers, but the balance has tilted too far in the last two decades. We want SECA abolished. And at the end of the day, my answer to your question is very much the same as my answer to Ms. Edwards' question earlier. We want priority for that Singaporean worker. We want that Singaporean worker to get the best paying jobs. If no Singaporean worker is willing to do the job, we are prepared to allow that employer to employ the foreigner. We are not going to negotiate on that.
Professor, your question for PSP, please.
So the PSP, as I understand, proposes tighter controls on EP holders, such as you mentioned a quota, a levy, and higher qualifying salaries, to ensure that Singaporeans are not displaced from good jobs. How would your party ensure that such policies do not limit access to essential foreign skills and reduce Singapore's competitiveness as a global business hub?
Ms. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
Our proposals in this respect are actually not entirely new or different from the government's proposals, because they have introduced quotas for S-Pass and work permit holders. They introduced the fair consideration framework. They also launched campus in the 14th Parliament and successively raised the qualifying salary for EP holders. Did these measures affect MNC investment into Singapore? Well, if we look at the statistics, foreign direct investment into Singapore has continued to increase from 2020 to 2023. So in this way, we are confident that our proposals, which are a strengthening, for example, of the FCF itself and imposing levies and quotas on EP holders, will not limit access to essential foreign skills and reduce Singapore's attractiveness as a global business hub.
Professor, your next question is for RDU.
So, RDU proposes a shift away from GDP-focused growth and calls for a citizens-first hiring policy. Could you tell us a bit more about what specific policies your party would implement to ensure that Singaporeans continue to have access to good, secure jobs in this new economic model?
Ms. Philmon, your 1 minute starts now.
I actually want to thank Mr. Chi for emphasising how important safety nets are. But surely, 6K for 6 months for those that are retrenched is the flimsiest of safety nets for Singaporean workers. So I think job legislation as proposed by the PAP, it aims at fair chance for Singaporeans, but RDU's Citizens First Hiring Policy is a little bit different. It is aimed at fair rights of all workers that are in Singapore. If you have to be considered against the foreigner. I have worked in the US for several years. I've worked in Canada for a bit. And I know that citizens are preferred over foreigners. And there's certain legislation in place that citizens get priority. And that's what we're emphasizing. And that is what we are calling for. And that's why RDU's proposals are different.
Professor Pan, your next question goes to WP.
So the Workers' Party has called for stronger emphasis on skills transfer, as you articulated just now, as a condition for work passes. So how does this actually differ from existing frameworks such as the Compass framework? And how would your party implement this policy and measure skills transfer in practice?
Thank you. Mr. Tan, your 1 minute starts now.
Thank you. And I know there was a discussion around this, I think, in Parliament a while ago around how it's difficult to measure. I think our position is that there are concrete steps that we can take to get a better pulse on what's actually happening and actually incent companies in a different way. We have specific ideas such as, you know, requiring companies to invest in training for potential local employees. This is measurable. We can also ensure some kind of mentorship pairing with local and foreign employees. This is, again, measurable. We know these are not perfect ways of getting at the problem or getting at what's actually going on. But we shouldn't let perfection be the enemy of the good. I think these are methods that we can get a better sense of what's going on, actually trying to incent and measure what's going on a little bit better, and allow us to then shape policy as a consequence of that. We think that's a way forward. We think that's a way in which we can actually calibrate that.
Professor Pan, now your question for PAP.
So, despite implementing, you know, very sophisticated policies to really, you know, manage the quantity and quality of immigrants, immigration in Singapore still remains a hot-button issue. So my question is, what more can the PAP do to address Singaporeans' concerns and strike this, you know, right balance?
Mr. Chi, your 4 minutes starts now.
Thank you. I think Singaporeans, the key message I want to get across, Singaporeans remain at the heart of our immigration and manpower policies. We do give priority to our citizens, to locals. There are many schemes in place that are only extended to locals and not to foreigners, whether it's on training, whether is it on supporting them when they lose their jobs, the safety nets. We design our manpower policies with Singaporeans at the heart of these policies. But at the same time, we also need to understand, as many of my panelists have acknowledged, that we do need immigration and we do need foreigners to come in to complement our local workforce. So the key is not to close our economy and to protect the jobs and cause economic disruption, because that in the end will cause Singapore's businesses to lose competitiveness, and they may then move elsewhere. And then we lose the jobs, not just for the foreigners, but also for the local workers. So that is what we must avoid. Ms. Tan mentioned earlier that the PAP has done many good schemes to help workers, and I thank her for that, for acknowledging that. That's indeed what we have been doing over the years, to put in place stronger protection for local workers. But there is one difference between what we have done and what the PSP is proposing, in that when we come up with these policies, we have very close consultation with our tripartite partners. That's why tripartism is very important, because we are able to discuss with employers, with unions. So when we move on these policies, we know where the right balancing point is, where the right calibration is, so that, you know, you don't go overboard, you are still able to offer the protection, and yet at the same time, don't lose competitiveness. And this is a hallmark of the PAP government. It is important for us to protect our workers against discrimination, to put safeguards in place, and importantly, in this fast-changing world, to help Singaporeans to reskill and upskill so that they can stay employable. Lifelong learning for lifelong employability. Now, we can't preserve all jobs. That's not possible. But we must protect all Singaporeans. So the PAP government has implemented many schemes over the years, and this is an area where, if necessary, we will continue to do so. But we do not want to do it in a manner which would then erode our competitiveness, because that is not in the interest of Singapore and Singaporeans. Now, we also want to make sure we empower Singaporeans to develop their fullest potential by reskilling and upskilling. And the best way to do this is to invest in their skills. It's not just through SkillsFuture, that's just one of the schemes. We also have many other, for example, career conversion program, overseas market immersion programs, skills transfer frameworks, which may coincide with what Mr. Teng spoke about as well. And over the past decade, if you look at the number of EP and S-Pass holders, this increased by 38,000. But if you look at how many resident PMET jobs have been added to our economy, it was 382,000, more than 10 times larger than the number of increase in EP and S-Pass holders. So this is a clear demonstration that when we adopt this approach, grow the pie, actually we benefit our people even more. Now, I think it's important for us to also take a look at, in this current time, when we are in a more turbulent, uncertain environment, what signals are we sending to the rest of the world? If we want to tap on all these new opportunities that may open up, what signals are we sending to the world? Is Singapore still welcoming to foreign investments, to foreign talent? Are we still welcoming to integrate new immigrants, yet at the same time offering the safeguards and protection for our people? I think those are important questions that we have to ask ourselves. Thank you.
Okay. Now, before we go for a short break, in response to my question earlier, Mr. Philemon said foreign wives of Singapore citizens only get LTVP and not PRs or citizenship. Well, actually, LTVP is not a prerequisite for PR or Singapore citizenship.